Okay, Chaver, let's continue our conversation about Mutav Shu Shogigin V'Al Yehu Mezidin, which is what we've been learning until now. Let's just summarize what we have so far. We have a shita of Tosfos and a shita of a Rashba B'Shem Baal HaItor. What does Tosfos say? When do we say Mutav Shu Shogigin? When don't we say Mutav Shu Shogigin? Tehila.
If you know that you're not going to listen, then we would say
and if you don't know that they're not going to go, that they're not going to listen, in other words, if there's a chance that they will listen, so then we do not say mutab shushogin, then we have to teach them the halacha, right? That's the shita of Tosfos. According to Tosfos, that's the beginning and the end of the conversation. What about the Rashba B'Shem Baal HaItor? Talia?
It's about whether it's
Rashba. Right. If it's beferish in the pasuk, so then you, if it's beferish in the pasuk, so then we never say mutav shu shogi. And if it's not beferish in the pasuk, we do say mutav shi yehu shogigin. Correct? That's the Rashba B'Shem Baal HaItor. And we presented two possible understandings of the Rashba B'Shem Baal HaItor. Right? What are the two understandings? You thought we weren't learning anything tonight. what are the two possible understandings of the Rashba B'Shem the Baal HaItor? Shani, you want to give me one?
Was it that we assume that they know already?
We assume that they know already. In other words, if it's Mefurash B'Kra, you can't say that they're Shogeg because they obviously know it. And the other explanation was the more razzle-dazzle explanation? Liat, you want to take a stab at it?
When you have a halacha that's actually in the pasuk,
then
the rabbis can't
make it usur. Right. Something that's beferish in the pasuk has a chumrah to it. Part of the chumrah to it is that we're obligated to tell you about it. It's beferish in the pasuk. And we pointed out nafkaminas between these two explanations about potentially famous dinim derabbanan. Right? And we also noted that the simple reading of the Rashba B'Shem the Baal HaItor here in Beitza on Daf Lamed, the Rashba that we read, is like what Shani presented as the first explanation, which I think I presented as the second explanation last time, but that the real difference between Mefurash B'Kra and not Mefurash B'Kra is, can you argue that it is Shogeg? That's the way we presented it last time. Now, just a few things to summarize this conversation. One, I think that the Baal HaItor himself takes the approach that stuff that is mefurash in the pasuk is more chamor than stuff that's not mefurash in the pasuk. The Baal HaItor writes like this. You know, there's a halach in Yerideya that I'm not supposed to have meat on top of cheese. Right? It seems like pretty self-evident. You don't take a piece of cold cuts and put it next to a piece of cheese, because we're worried that some of the fat on the meat or some of the fat on the cheese will rub off on the other, and then you're going to have to rinse it. And we're worried that maybe you'll eat it without rinsing it. So far, so good? It's a pretty self-evident halacha, but it's found in Yerideya Simin Tzadi Aleph. The Baal HaItor is quoted by the Rashba as saying, excuse me, let's say it like this. The Baal HaItor is quoted by the Ra'ah as saying that even, that no matter what, you can't put treif meat on kosher meat, no matter what. The Rashba, however, himself disagrees. And the Rashba says that Dover Shadarko Lahadiach is mutter. Dover Shadarko Lahadiach is mutter means if I will always rinse it off, then I'm allowed to have the meats touch. And the Rashba proves this from a pasuk. The Rashba proves this from a pasuk that the Torah in Parsha Shmini writes, "Vayosimu hachalovim al hechazos," right? That when they waved the carbon by Yom Hashmini Lamiluim, they put the chilev, which is the non-kosher fat, on the chazer, which is like the chest cavity of the animal, which is kosher, and they put it there. So you see that it's mutter because they're going to rinse it off after. That's what the Rashba says. Now, the Ra'ah, Aser is still. The Ra'ah says that you're not allowed to put meat, treif meat on kosher meat, even if you're going to rinse it off. Aye, the Pasuk says that they did. So the Ra'ah would say that the Pasuk is not proof to anything because the Torah is speaking about a din d'oraisa. This Iser of putting the kosher meat on the non-kosher meat is a din d'rabbanon, and therefore you can't prove anything from the Pasuk. However, the Rashba quotes from the Baal HaItor that no, that even though it's in a Pasuk, excuse me, right, did I just say this backwards? Let's say this again. The Rashba quotes in the Baal HaItor that I'm allowed to have treif meat touch kosher meat because I will certainly rinse it off. And that's what the Torah means by Yosim HaChalavim Al HaChazos. Meaning, the Baal HaItor is only saying that there's a heder because you're going to always rinse it off. How come the Baal HaItor doesn't agree with the Ra'ah's rejection? The Ra'ah rejects this principle of learning from the Pasuk because it says it's a din d'rabbanan, you can't learn from a Pasuk. Apparently, the Baal HaItor holds that the Chachomim would not be able to aser something if it's beferish in the Pasuk. And therefore, he has to come up with the heter of rinsing it off. Did I totally lose everybody? Or I lost one person, at least. Okay, so basically the point is, it's a machlekes harishonim about whether you can learn from the pasuk of Vayosim HaCholavim HaChazos. Those who assume that you can't learn from the pasuk say, well, I can't learn from the pasuk because I'm talking about a din d'rabbanan. How can I learn from the pasuk, which is before they instituted dinim d'rabbanan? The other approach is saying, no, you can learn from the pasuk because the rabbis would have no ability to make a din d'rabbanan if it's a din d'rabbanan against the beferish pasuk. And therefore, I have to explain the pasuk in a way that it could be in line with the din d'rabbanan, and have to come up with this chiddush that something which I rinse off is mutter. Right? Now, the fact that I have the same players in that conversation is telling. Because the Rashba is quoting from the Itur in that halacha, which means that the Itur is assuming that something that's in the pasuk has a lot of power. Something that's in the pasuk, the Chachamim couldn't answer if not for this Dre, if not for this way out, when we're saying that no, because you'll rinse it off, it's mutter. That's basically what we're trying to say. Now, two other points. 3 points. In Shulchan Aruch, do I pass in like the Rashba or like the Tosfos? Simen Tov Reish Kes of Aruch Hayim. Right? You saw this in Seder, I assume. Does the Tosfos make it to Shulchan Aruch? Does it say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that if they will definitely listen to you, or there's a chance that listen to you, you have to give them a warning? If not, you don't. That does not really make it to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, or at least the Ramah, makes the distinction of the Rashba in the name of the Baal HaItor, the distinction between Mefurash Bekra and not Mefurash Bekra. Now, that might lead in the direction that the Tosfos is entirely rejected. Why would I reject the Tosfos? So, again, Rashba disagrees. But why should I favor the Rashba instead of Tosfos? Let's ask another question. Why would Tosfos not make a distinction between Davar HaMefurash Bekra and something that's not Mefurash Bekra? And this is an answer that you should all know. Why would Tosfos not say the Rashba's distinction? Dun, 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 dun. My wife was on Jeopardy, so I had her to sing the song. Dun, da, 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 bum, bum, bum. why would Tosfos not make a distinction between Dover HaMufurash Mikra? So I think, ready? I think this connects to that Tosfos and Baba Basra Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that we spoke about last time. Tosfos says they don't know Psukim! Right, remember, especially if we are right, meaning what Shani presented is the correct Shani Rashba. That's a Pusuk. Everybody knows Psukim. Right? Tosfos says, nah. Right? Tosfos says, and the proof is Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, Rib Safra. Right? He didn't necessarily know Psukim. So now, right, what emerges from the Tosfos, I think, is the possibility that because they didn't know Psukim, therefore you can't say the Rashba. That's what I feel might be correct. And then I would say, perhaps Shulchan Aruch is completely rejecting the Tosfos. And the issue that I think about, whether or not to tell people a halacha, has nothing to do with whether or not they'll listen. It has all to do with, is it Mufurash Bikra or not Mufurash Bikra? So far, so good? Now, if this is correct, so then we spoke last time very briefly. Were you able to read that thing that I sent, my article about the Erev? Okay, so... What? Brianna found it for you. Because I thought I emailed it to you on the script or something. Could be that I didn't pay, so they didn't... I'm a yeshiva guy. I try to do things on the cheap. Whatever. My wife made fun of me that when I was dating her, I used to take her on the Staten Island ferry because it used to be free. And like, well, it's a great date. Hey, what could be bad? I'm like, why are you doing this?
Because you're a Lawrence boy.
What? Yeah, but whatever. This is a longer conversation, but not for now. Yes, I was a Lawrence boy in my youth. I grew out of it quickly. So the question within Tosfos that we addressed last time is, let's say you have a community and some people will listen and other people won't listen. For some reason, and I'm not sure why, for some reason when Poskim deal with the question of Mutav Shihu Shogegin, Poskim invoke the Cheshbin of Tosfos. According to my analysis, our analysis, I'm going to blame you for this also, according to our analysis, L'cha'orah Tosfos is rejected. Because Tosfos is not agreeing with the Rashba, since Tosfos says that they didn't know Psukim, and we assume that people did know Psukim, end of conversation. And therefore, we reject the Tosfos in Shulchan Aruch. But the Poskim all use Tosfos type of expressions, and they say, if there's a chance people will listen, you have to tell them. If there's no chance that they'll listen, then we could say Mutav Shihu Shogegin. Right, the Poskim use Tosfos, even though they're using the Rashba as well, which means that the Poskim are assuming that there's no huge machlokis over here, that somehow we can merge the two Shitos. I'm not 100% sure how that would work and why, therefore, we would have two Shitos. If the Rashba would agree with Tosfos, he should just say Tosfos. So that part I'm not sure about, but the Poskim invoke Tosfos' Svara. Good? Now, the question, I think Liat asked this question last time, is so what do I do in a situation when I have a community and some of the people will listen, some of the people won't listen? What do you do in that case? So in my article, I pointed out, let's go, who wants to tell me what I said? What does Reb Shlomo Zalman say? Reb Shlomo Zalman says, don't announce an Erev that falls on Shabbos. Why not? Because Reb Shlomo Zalman says, first of all, it's misasek. On a drabonon, okay, gotcha. Right, that's the second part of my article. And then he says, also because of Mutav Shihu Shogegin, don't announce it. There are some people who are going to listen. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, well, even though there's some people going to listen, I ignore those people, basically. The people, right? That's effectively what Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying.
Would you be upset if you were, like, a congregant of the shul, and you were
down the
rabbi and
Yeah, so...
I get to the air from my house, if I saw a dad and he told me, I'd be like, okay.
Right, so I think some people would be upset. People with Yerusha Mayim would probably be upset. But on a certain level, You know, people would be willing to say, well, if the rabbi will suffer whatever the consequences of me carrying when the Erev is down,
right,
so let the rabbi suffer and I'm okay with that. I'm not sure. But people would be upset, and I'm not exactly sure also how much that should factor into our equation. But Bekitzer, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you should not announce a fallen Erev. In Rabbi Bechhafer's English book about the community Erev, he quotes an uncle of his who said this idea from Reb Chaim. From the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim also said not to announce a fallen Erev, although I have no other evidence that Reb Chaim said it, but that's what Rabbi Bechhafer quotes. Yes?
We had a company over Yontif who said that the rabbi made an announcement that he heard that the Erev was down. This was, it didn't happen on Yontif, she was just telling the story.
Yeah.
And he said, so just with, and all women were in shul already with their carriages, so he just said, just do whatever you were supposed to do, like today, just don't do anything extra. Like, if you're planning on going to someone's house for lunch, just go and then go home, or just go straight home. Don't walk anything extra, which is...
I don't know.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure. But I announce when the Erev is down. I wrote an article, why? And part of my article, I say that although Reb Shlomo Zalman says not to announce, I thought that Reb Moshe would say that you should announce. Now, did anyone look up the Reb Moshe? No. So the Reb Moshe is not talking about when an Erev falls on Shabbos. Reb Moshe is talking about something else that most shuls announce, which is that before Tekiyah Shofar, someone gets up and says, no, everyone should be careful not to interrupt between the first bracha and the Tekiyos and the last sound of the Shofar at the end of Kaddish after Mosef, right? Isn't that announced in most shuls? Now, the question is, do you make that announcement in a situation where the community is not going to listen? This first year I was in the shul, actually, someone got a cell phone call in the middle of Tekiyah Shofar and took the call. Now, you know, that's an experience. So, whatever. But, do you announce not to interrupt during Tekiyah Shofar? So, this fellow was contending that maybe it should be Mutav Shu Shogigin. That's what he argues. And Reb Moshe Chelek Beis Simen Lamed Vav, and Moshe says, no, don't say Mutav Shu Shogigin, because there are some people in the community who will certainly listen. If the rabbi announced not to talk, some people will certainly not talk. And therefore, Reb Moshe says, you know what? Therefore, you should announce not to interrupt for the to'elus, for the benefit of that one person who will listen to you. Apparently, Reb Moshe is going in the opposite direction of Reb Shlomo Zalman. That's what I thought in that article. Okay, that could be. It's also entirely possible, by the way, that Reb Shlomo Zalman is just rejecting Tosfos entirely, and Reb Moshe is quoting Tosfos. Right? We could analyze it that way based on what we've learned. Now, what I contended in my article was as follows. There's a Sefer Hasidim who writes that we don't say Mutav Shu Shogigin in Shul. And I thought, Rabbi Rosenzweig thought in the Pshat in the Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Rosenzweig has this homahalach that Beis Knesses is a place where we have to have higher standards in everything, and therefore in Shul we won't say Mutav Shu Shogigin because we have to have higher standards and teach Torah. That's his approach. Maybe. It's certainly possible. But I thought that my Pshat is more emistic. And the Matzah Sheka, I think, learns like me. The Matzah Sheka on the Magen Avraham, where he quotes a Sefer Hasidim, that we don't say Mutav Shu Shogigin in Shul. The Matzah Sheka says the reason why is because it's a large tzibur, and some people are going to listen. That means that the Sefer Hasidim, who's a, again, you have to ask Dr. Kanefogel who the Sefer Hasidim was when he lived, etc. You'll get like a 7-hour lecture. But the Sefer Hasidim is saying that when you have a tzibur, you don't say Mutav Shu Shogigin because it's going to be one person who's going to listen. That is in line with the Reb Moshe. What I pointed out in the footnote is that it's very interesting that the Magen Avraham quotes the Sefer Hasidim. The Mishnah Brura's job is to be a digest. The Mishnah Brura's job is to quote all the major achronim on the page of Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah does not quote that line in the Magen Avraham quoting the Sefer Chassidim. That might mean, potentially, that the Mishnah Berurah rejects it. This is an idea. When I was in Kol HaOyon, I was interested in learning halacha a little bit. So Rabbi Rosenzweig one time came over and he threw the line. Says, the way to learn Mishnah Berurah properly is to see what the Mishnah Berurah omits. Which I think is a brilliant insight. Because if Mishnah Berurah is supposed to be quoting every Magen Avraham and Taz, etc., if he doesn't quote this Magen Avraham, or he doesn't quote that line in the Magen Avraham, Halo Davarhu, that might mean that the Mishnah Berurah is rejecting that line in the Magen Avraham. So again, if that's the case, so then we're back to square one. We don't have the Sefer Chassidim, and that would be more in line with Shlomo Zalman's approach, not Reb Moshe's approach. That was the way I presented this. It happens that there's an interesting Bir Hagra over here. The Bir Hagra in Tofrei Shches says as follows: Zok the Gain, that the Gemara in Shabbos has a different line than the Gemara in Beitza. You see, the Gemara in Beitza says that we say Mutashu Shogigin, right? Even on a Da'iraisa, no? But the Gemara, correct? The Gemara in Beitza says, right, don't tell me that it's only on Drabanans, because Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Da'iraisa, and we still say Mutashu Shogigin. The Gemara in Shabbos, according to the Girsa of a chunk of Rishonim, just leaves it that there's a difference between Da'iraisa and Rabbanan. Zot the Gain, that maybe what the Gemara in Shabbos means, it's on Kuf Mem Chesam et Beis in Shabbos, it's the parallel Gemara to Beit Zadaf Lamed, maybe what the Gemara in Shabbos means is exactly that point. Maybe the Gemara in Shabbos is not making a formal distinction between Da'iraisa, between Da'iraisa and Rabbanan, but rather, the Gemara uses the word Da'iraisa to mean Mefurash Bekra. And Rabbanan might mean not Mefurash Bekra. Now that's using a little bit of literary license, but it's not so crazy. And the Gain, you can look at that Gain, in Tofrei Shches, in Sif Beis, the Gain says that maybe it's all because of that Gemara in Shabbos. Adkan. Good? Okay, do we have 3 or 4 more minutes to try to... let's try to do a little bit more in the sugya of the Yodeya Das Elyon, about Bilam. You guys had a chance to look at this Tosfos, and... Right, so first of all, the first Tosfos on Dalet Amud Beis says, Yodeya Das Elyon, that it's not that Bilam had some knowledge from Nevuah about when Hashem gets angry, but Bilam actually knew something, right? That's why the Gemara asks, what do you mean Bilam knew anything? He don't even know what his donkey is doing, right? Hashta das behemto eno yodeya, das elyon mibayale, right? He doesn't even know what his donkey is doing. But therefore, Zoktoisus, obviously Bilam's knowledge of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry is genuine, bona fide knowledge. How long does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry for a rega. What is a rega?
50,850.
You actually did the math. So it happens that there's another girsa in this Gemara about what a rega is. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar has a different girsa, that every day is divided up into 24 hours. Every hour is divided up halachically into 24, what we'll call minutes. And every minute is halachically divided up into 24 halakim. Multiply out 24 times 24 times 24, and then that's the rega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Any math majors? I don't know. I can't do this. It's too complicated. What?
24 times 24.
This is why.
Times 12.
What?
13,824.
But so that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Sefer HaYashar, that's how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Okay, whatever it is, you could try to figure out how long it is. But Bilam was able to do something in the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Now, Frech Tosfos, what on earth can you do in that brief period of time that God is angry? So Tosfos says. What?
Starts.
That's the second answer of Tosfos. First answer of Tosfos. Kalim. Right? Destroy them. Now, if I just say destroy them, there's a little bit of a problem in terms of who should they destroy? Who is them? Right? Tea biscuit. Like, who's them? What are you talking about, Kalim? And the Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan really is bothered by that kasha, and therefore Tosafot Rabbeinu Ochanan moves in the other direction. What's so funny? I tell no jokes. You also say tea biscuit all the time? Yeah? Oh, there you have it. My wife always says something tea biscuit. I don't know why. It's like, it's a thing.
What does it refer to?
What?
What does it refer to?
I have no idea. Mamish, no idea.
Never asked.
Huh? No one asks. It doesn't matter. Like, it's an expression, you know? Like, so Tosa's second answer, the first answer is that you say Kaleim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayafoch Hashem Elokim, right? As Kalaso Lebrach, Hashem changed Kaleim to become Melech. Right? Truas Melech, but it's the same letters. Kaf Lam and Mem becomes Melech. But Tosa's second answer is that just because that Talia said it, that you start the curse, and starting is enough to be Yotze. Yes?
You notice that Tosus and
Brachos,
he only quotes the
Kaleim,
he doesn't quote that.
Correct. Tosus in different places quote different things. Again, they're probably different authors of the different Tosusim. That's like Tosus in Avodah Zarah is Rabbeinu Peretz, no? The Kivegar in the first daf in the Masechta says the Tosus in Avodah Zarah is Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay, whatever it is, Tosa says all you need to do is start. Based on this, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Akula, that if you have Zman Kriya Shema, you have Zman Tefillah, all you have to do is you say Shh, right? Shh. And then Shema Yisrael, the Mem and the Ayin is going to be after the Zman Kriya Shema is over, you're Yotze. Have you ever been to Shul that's Mamish down to the wire? Right? So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that is fine. The Tshuva of the Kashuk Lover. The Kashuk Lover was the second Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin, the second to last Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin. The Kashuk Lover tries to defend every Hasidic practice, even when it seems a little bit strange. So he asks the Kasha, how come Hasidim often send Mishloach Manos after Purim is over? They start their meal at the end of Purim, right? Like the last couple minutes of the day. And the meal will continue for many, many hours, whatever it is. And then at midnight, somebody will come and bring you a mishloach manos, mamish, a pineapple, or something. Like a real mishloach manos. So the Kashuk Lover asks, like, what's going on here? Right? How could they do it? How can you send mishloach manos after Purim? So he quotes from the Yid HaKadosh of Pesishtha, right? The Halakha of Shrisa, this is in the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, Simen Kuf Chav Aleph. He quotes that the Yid HaKadosh says the same shtickle to Aruch HaShulchan, that all you have to do is begin, and then the whole thing continues. But this will only help for Mishloach Manos if you accept the approach of the Trumas Hadeshen. There's a machlokes between the Trumas Hadeshen and the Manos Halevi, that when the mitzvah Mishloach Manos is an opportunity to fulfill Se'udas Purim, and the Rambam sounds that way in Hilchos Megillah, that you're supposed to send the chelok of your Se'udah to someone else, or is Mishloach Manos just an opportunity to be Mar Bechiba Vireis? If Mishloach Manos is for the Su'uda Purim, since my Su'uda began on Purim and my Su'uda continues, I can send Mishloach Manos Kol Zman that the Su'uda is going on. That's the Chiddush of the Kashuk Lover. And then the Kashuk Lover adds a whole different dimension. He goes, he says, well, maybe this is all because the halacha sometimes views the purpose of the mitzvah as being paramount, as opposed to the exact zman of the mitzvah. Since the purpose of Se'udas Purim and the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to have a Se'uda to enhance the day, etc., so you're extending the day, then we give Mishloach Manos after, because it fits in with the purpose of the mitzvah, and he develops a whole theory based on that, and he starts really getting wild. The wildness, I think, is not as exciting. If you want, I could leave you with the tshuva over here. It's not easy to find. So this is the Kashuk Glover's tshuva. I'll just leave it with you. It's the last three paragraphs on this column, and then the top of the next column is just my daughter was photocopying this for me before I came here tonight, and she did it on two pages. The end of it is over here. So you can take a look at the Kashuk Glover. I wish you all a good Shabbos. If anyone has any other ha'aros about that thing that I wrote or not, please tell me. I have to decide by tomorrow afternoon whether I'm sending it to them, and hopefully I won't get fired. Okay.